going to accompany our Lord in this evening in his agony in the garden. And we have to follow his footsteps from the very moment when he leaves the upper room. After having sung the Psalms, they left the upper room. What would Jesus feel in his heart as he sang Psalms? One of the Psalms that he would have prayed is the Psalm that says, "For his mercy endures forever." The mercy of the heart of Christ, the mercy of God, is what is about to be lived in his very person. And when they came to the garden, Jesus began to feel sorrow. He said, "My soul is sorrowful even unto death." What is the cause of the sorrow of Christ? My sins. And he left some of his apostles, and he went farther into the garden. And he experienced anguish, a great interior pain. He saw all of our sins. He saw every sin committed, from the sin of Adam unto the last sin that will be committed before the end of time. And he took all of those sins, all of my sins, upon himself. And they crushed him. They crushed him so hard that he began to sweat blood. He who had just said, "This is my body. This is the chalice of my blood poured out for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins." His precious blood begins to be poured out. And the first drop of the blood of the Passion of Christ touches the ground. One of the greatest causes of the anguish of the sorrow of Christ was to see how many souls would not respond to his love. For how many souls would the blood that he poured out for their forgiveness, for the forgiveness of their sins, be useless? Because they would not respond. They would not respond to his love. They would not accept his salvation. They would not let themselves be loved by him. They would close themselves in their selfish hearts and not let themselves be looked at by him. The first drop of blood shed for the forgiveness of sins and many, many, many other drops begin to form upon him as he sweats blood. The blood of fear. Fear and anguish torture him. He knows every detail of the passion that awaits him tomorrow. He knows every blow that they will break upon his body. He knows every stripe that will be upon him, deeply cutting his body. He knows every thorn that will pierce not just his head, but his heart, our sins. He knows already the torture of the thirst that he will feel. He knows how much pain will shoot through his body when they nail him to the cross. He knows what he will feel when he starts to experience the shortness of breath. Every insult, he can already hear it. And that is why he must pray. He teaches us that important lesson to turn to our Father with trust and confidence during every trial. And he calls him Abba, Daddy. You can do all things. Everything is possible to you. Let this cup pass from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. He taught us the perfect prayer to pray. Thy will be done. prayer made out of trust and confidence in the love of the Father. At the same time, knowing every detail of every suffering, every pain that he would experience, but at the same time, addressing his Father with loving trust, with total abandonment. And the Lord sent an angel to console him. There are some souls that do respond. Some souls console Christ in the midst of his anguish, in the midst of his agony. They respond to his love with their love. They satiate the thirst of Christ by loving him. And our Lord found his three chosen apostles asleep. He was hoping for someone, some friend, someone who would care, someone who would accompany him in his pain. But they let themselves be overcome by sleep. So often we let comfort lull us to sleep instead of accompanying the Lord with our love, with our attention. We prefer to let comfort take over our hearts and put us to sleep. And our Lord taught us an important lesson. Watch, watch and pray. Watch and pray. He himself prayed to teach us the importance of prayer. The willingness to sacrifice our comfort, the willingness to sacrifice something of value to accompany him who loves us so much. Watch. Watch and pray. Could you not watch 1 hour with me? And our Lord knows that the footsteps of his betrayer draw near. And he goes out to meet him. He goes out to meet him. And Judas comes close along with all those who had been gathered to catch Jesus as if he was a thief, bringing swords and clubs. And Judas comes to him to kiss him. Only a friend can betray a friend. And Jesus calls him friend. Friend, what are you doing? Why are you here? Jesus calls his betrayer friend to teach us that he, for his part, will always welcome us back into his friendship. That he will always have the door open for us. That he waits for us to welcome us back as friends. But some will not accept. And Jesus asks, who are you looking for? Jesus of Nazareth, I am. He calls himself by the name of God. I am who am. I am. And they fall to the ground to show that they cannot take hold of him, that he must give himself over. They will not take him prisoner. He will freely give himself. And he places himself in their hands and lets them do with him as they wish. That is what the Lord always does. He lets us do as we wish with him, with our sins, giving himself up to our insults and beatings. Letting himself be nailed over and over and over again, crucified in our hearts. He is looking at us now, asking if one, just one, will console him. One will accompany him if someone will love him.